Blog Talk Radio. Joining me tonight for Truth and Transformation. Today's October 22nd, 2015. I'm Cindy and I'm your host for this program. And tonight I just wanted to spend a few minutes with you and share why I believe that it is so important for each and every one of us to arrive at a place in our life's journey where we are living our truth. And so as I share just a couple of things with you tonight, first of all, I would just want to welcome each and every one of you for sharing just a few minutes with me. I ask that as we all experience so much activity through the day, you have frustrations and challenges and issues at work or issues at home or with the family or finances, lots of times stress just builds up. And so by the time you get to this point in the day, you can just be overwhelmed. So I just ask you to just sit back for a minute and take a deep breath and just, you know, relax your shoulders, kind of do a couple of circles there with your shoulders. Shake your fingers and your hands loose, just like you're just shaking the dust off and all the stuff that just tried to cling to you today. Literally, if you will make a physical motion like that, just, you know, flicking your fingers or your wrists back and forth, rolling your shoulders, take a deep breath. It's probably been something you haven't even done today. We don't even take time to breathe anymore. So just take a deep breath and say, you know what? For the next 15 or 20 minutes, I'm going to take some time for me. Because literally what I do here is as much for me as it is for anyone else. We learn that we may teach, and we teach that we may learn. And everything that I do here is not for personal gain. It is for collective gain. It is for growth. It is for productivity. It's to share where I've come from and the peace that I've been able to find. Have I arrived? Certainly not. I'm still here in this physical shell, so there's still some classroom time for me. But if I can alleviate any unnecessary suffering for anyone, that's my goal. Lots of times the suffering we have to go through, I believe in we reap what we sow. I believe in karma. I believe in for every action there's a reaction. So sometimes we have to go through some tough stuff. But that's where the greatest lessons come from. You know, there's no teacher greater than experience. And so that's what I share from is just my experience. So I just ask you to just sit back for a few minutes and take the load off, you know, kick your feet up, just take the load off. And let me assure you that none of us are in this classroom alone. And so as we prepare to enter yet another classroom to share, seek, and reveal, I just want to encourage you for whatever level of belief that you appreciate or that you follow, it's all welcome here. This is not a place where you'll find labels or criticism or judgment. The greatest thing that the Creator, God, the universe, Source, you know, whoever, you know, Great White Spirit, whoever you choose to refer to them, greatest gift that was given us was free will. And you'll never see that taken away from you here. So I just invite you to welcome your guardian angels, your spirit guides, the archangels Michael, Gabriel, Uriel, Ariel, Raphael, Zadkiel, Cahumiel, Jeremiel, Jophiel, Metatron. I welcome all of the saints of old, the ascended masters. I welcome Enoch, and I welcome Paul, and I welcome Ezekiel, and Elijah, and Elisha. And I welcome them. I welcome the Virgin Mary, and I welcome the Holy Spirit. I welcome Jesus the Christ. And I say, you know, as we seek and share and reveal our truths here tonight, I pray that wisdom rise from her seat and that she speak for us, that we may all grow and that we may all learn, and then that we may all become teachers. And so tonight, as we review this, how important it is that each person arrive at a place during their lifetime, before it's too late, that you can begin to live your truth, then you got first have to find out what that truth is. And I had to arrive there after spending 6 years in a very, very dark place. And then I didn't get out alone. It was a supernatural visitation that unlocked the door for me, much like you'll read in scripture. If you're a follower of the Bible, there are many times, you know, the apostles would be chained in prison, and the prison would shake and the chains would fall. And so it was a supernatural visitation that shook me out of my lethargy. Then it took the next 3 years for me to very cautiously and carefully begin to unravel the matrix of what I believed and why did I believe that. And that's what my platform is here with putting together Truth and Transformation and putting it out into the airwaves. I just simply ask two questions. I do not ask anyone to follow my belief. I am not asking anyone to believe what I believe, and I'm not asking anyone to change what you believe. I am simply asking you to ask yourself and hold a mirror up to yourself and say, what do I believe? Now that I've made that statement, what do I believe spiritually about life, about my life, about me? Why do I believe that? How did I arrive at that conclusion? And so many times we find out that we are merely following someone else's footsteps. You know, they walked before us and we're just putting our foot where their footprint is, and it's just the blind leading the blind. But there can come times in your life when you're shaken to the core, when your identity, everything that you thought you knew, even yourself, can be shaken to a point where, you know, up is down and down is up and left is right and right is left, and you're left to then begin to question what is real. And it's at that point in time that you're going to meet yourself. And I wanted to share that in the Bible, and I will quote the Bible quite a bit because my background is that of a Christian. My background is that of Christian faith, Pentecostal faith, and so I'm quite familiar with the Bible. But the truth is that there are truths in every major religion. There are truths intertwined within the mosaic of every religion around the world. No one has the whole story. No one religion that is run by man has the complete story, because religion was devised for there to maintain a form of control. Even Jesus, didn't stick around the synagogues. John the Baptist was out in the wilderness. So I am not talking down churches and religion. Please don't send me hate mail and all that. That's not what this is about. There are good works that come out of that. What I'm talking about is the evolution of your soul growth, you. I'm not talking about if you write a $100 check and put it in the basket every Sunday. I'm not talking about, if you give to charities. I'm not talking about if you've only missed two Sundays out of 52 weeks. I'm not talking about laws and rules and regulation. I'm not talking about sacrifice of animals, I'm not talking about having a Buddha and burning incense. I'm talking about you. You, just you. Who are you? If you take all of that away, if you take all those buildings away, and all of those leaders, and all of the hierarchy, where are you? Where are you, and who are you? When Jesus went to the home of the 12-year-old little girl who had died, Jairus' daughter, he was a centurion and definitely shouldn't have been following Jesus. But he broke ranks because his 12-year-old little girl died. He had gotten word that she had died. And when you get a word like that, you're going to break rank. When we got word that our 22-year-old son had been in an accident and it was not good, you break rank. So Jesus came to the home, and allowing to remain in the room were only five people: Peter, James, and John, who were his disciples, who were his students, and he allowed the girl's parents, the mother and father. Everyone else he made leave the room, because they had already a preconceived idea. Everyone else was mourning and wailing. They had gathered to mourn. They had already sent out the word. She was dead. So they'd already made their judgment call. Their perception was already set. And with this kind of unbelief, the ability to save her, to resurrect her, well, their projected negative vibration that they were sending into that space would not allow Jesus' positive energy needed to resurrect her to function. So he got rid of the negative energy. He got rid of the preconception. He got rid of the mourning, the doubt, the skeptics, the unbelief. He sent them out. Because, no doubt that the parents could stay. That's their 12-year-old daughter. And no doubt that his three disciples would stay. Everyone else had to go. Because Jesus himself tells us that he could do no work, he had no honor in his own hometown. Now you would think of any place else in the world that should have supported him, it'd be your hometown. But I can tell you, you will not find belief in who you say you are. You will not find support in what you say you do if it goes against the norm, if it goes against the hierarchy, if it goes against the establishment. He could do no work and had no honor in his own household. And it was all because of the unbelief. The negative energy is a vampire of the skepticism, the doubt, the suspicion. It is a vampire of energy. I want to tell you, I had the honor for a short season to travel to Central America and attend some services with well over 100,000 people in attendance. And I personally witnessed miracles of healing. There was a young man there. He'd been stricken with a fever, and he was bound to a wheelchair for 15 years. And you could tell he had not been bathed in a long time. His clothes were worn. But with the assistance of an interpreter, the interpreter and I personally assisted him out of that wheelchair. He was extremely weak, very fragile. His belly protruded out extensively. Yet he leaned on the two of us, and we walked the length of a football field and across the front of the staging area to bear witness, to encourage others. And you say, well, why don't we see miracles like this in the States? Well, that's easy to answer. Let's go back to Jesus with the unbelief and the 12-year-old little girl. It's the skeptics, the unbelief, the suspicion. See, many in ministry in the States live lavish lifestyles. And this makes for great fodder for the tabloids and social media. And I've even been a party to that. Because it does frustrate me. But the people in Central and South America, in these little nations, many times they don't know where their next meal is going to come from. They don't have the financial or social means to have access to the internet and purchase tabloids. So they come to these services with an expectation, a passionate expectation for truth and life. And the life force that already lives within them then breaks free from those bondages. The power was within them all the time. They just needed some assistance to move the obstacles. Ecclesiastes tells us the value of having one another, reminding us that two are better than one, because if either of them falls down, one can help the other one up. And in 1972, there's a great song Bill Withers wrote and recorded, Lean on Me. It won a Grammy for Song of the Year. It says, hey, call on me, brother, when you need a hand. Because we all need somebody to lean on. And that's my purpose with being so transparent with my truth. Coming out of the closet, telling complete strangers, hey, you can lean on me. Because we all need a hand. I've been through some rough waters, some dark times. And I'll tell you, a lot of the ministers, the big people, you know, TV, you'll see it. So I'm not telling you anything you probably haven't heard if you've been on a spiritual journey. But you can't take someone where you haven't been. You just can't. Because they can read it. You know, the truth isn't there. The salt's not in it. There's a thing about salt, talking about salt. You know, when I get out of the shower, or in the shower in the morning times, or I just get out of the shower, I get the most incredible spiritual downloads. Do you? I can get so much. It's just like, bam, bam, bam. It's like, wow, that's right. Oh, that's so simple. Why didn't I think of that before? But by the time I get out, and I get to a place where I can even begin to think about writing it down, I've already lost it. It comes in that fast and it evaporates that fast. And, you know, tap water, rainwater, seawater, they're all great conductors of electricity. And it's not anything to do with the water. Water in and of itself cannot conduct electricity. But it's the metals and the ions, it's the salt in the water. This is what conducts the electricity. And now, now we have scientific research, as well as the photographic proof of the Kirlian photography. Now we know that the human body has this aura, and that this aura is an electromagnetic field of energy. It extends all around our body for about 4 feet. So you get this electromagnetic energy, and you get in this water, and around this water, and that's why getting to the ocean, or, you know, being on a lake, or anything like that, if you're listening at all, if you're open at all, seeking at all, you're just going to get these incredible downloads. And it's in the energy field, they call it complementary healthcare. You know, you've got this mainstream medical world, and if you're not a licensed physician, you know, you can't talk about medical issues. But the truth of the matter is, holistic medicine and complementary healthcare treatments such as Reiki, they all now use this energy field for treatments. And 20 years ago, these scientists, they were nailed down, definite, nothing like that existed. And the reason I'm sharing all this about water is that I want to share with you about one Nicholas Hermann. 324 years ago, Nicholas Hermann was born in France in 1614, and he transcended in 1691. But his poverty at a young age forced him into joining the army, where he was guaranteed, yep, 3 meals and a small wage. But during this time, he claimed to have had an experience that set him on a unique spiritual journey, and that's just about what happened to me. You get this supernatural, unexplainable experience. I get this huge red presence that appears in a photograph over the house. And so he claims to have had this very unique experience that sets him out on a spiritual journey. He calls it a supernatural clarity. So after an injury that he got while serving, he entered the monastery, but he didn't have the education to become a cleric. So he took the name of Lawrence of the Resurrection, and he spent the rest of his life working in the kitchen and repairing sandals. And he got such spiritual clarity and such wisdom that people sought him out for spiritual guidance. He wrote letters. All of this was recorded. And so this guidance and his letters would later become the basis of the book, The Practice of the Presence of God, which was actually compiled after his death. And it's a work that's highly recommended by those like John Wesley and A.W. Tozier. But the reason that I'm talking to you about Lawrence of the Resurrection, now 324 years later, is that he got his greatest insights while washing dishes. Why do you think that is? Well, a lot of people might think it's, you know, the lowliness of the work. Some of the commentaries, you know, talk about that. But that's not what I think it was at all. I think now that we understand more about the human body and more about our makeup and our electromagnetic system and the conductivity of that water while he was washing dishes, it's just like taking those showers. Those downloads just come. just one right after another after another. But for Brother Lawrence, he just said, no matter how mundane or routine the work or the job, we should all consider all of it sacred. And that's kind of what I'm trying to do. Get myself to a place that no matter what is at hand, that I'm no longer the tree in the winter, looking at myself as though all is lost, I've been stripped of everything, my life is barren, but I look at that tree and I realize that God is in that winter tree as equivalent as He was the day that the cherries were on. And the funny thing about this cherry tree, we have a cherry tree in our backyard, and it's at least 22, 23 years old. And it has bore cherries every year, enough cherries that we give them away to families. And since this journey has started for me, and I've began to learn from other teachers, great teachers, and from Source Himself, the value of just going out and spending a few minutes with this tree. You know, we've had many storms, 35 degrees below zero, you know, 10 inches of snow. We've had 105 degree temperatures, and no matter what, this tree still just stands, still bears fruit in the summer, goes dormant in the winter, and the cycle just continues. And as we think about the vibrations that we are sending out through this electromagnetic energy field that surrounds us, tonight I just want to ask you to contemplate, what are we sending out through our words, our speech, our actions? What are we sending through that energy field out into our homes, our workplace, our community, our nation, this planet, and beyond? Are we sending out love, fear, dread, regret, sorrow, anger? Because whatever we are sending out, as the image shows in a painting beautifully done by Phyllis Vaught of Visions, Guided Paintings by Phyllis, Spirit taught me that as the downloads come in, which is the yellow that you see brushing down and brushing in, I'm not blonde, too old to be blonde, as the downloads and the information, the wisdom comes in, the knowledge, the insights, the clarity, whatever you want to call it, I see it as the vibration is very light, you know, like in the immediate area, I'm not really having an impact. But what Spirit said was, in the spiritual, as that vibration goes out, it gets stronger and louder. So in layman's terms, we have a tendency to get focused on what's just happening right around us, and we feel like we're not making any difference. But the profound result is, in this vibrational intensity, in areas far from your immediate area, it's about the bigger picture. And I'm just asking you tonight to believe in yourself, to trust in the truth that has always been within you. The little guy down there in El Salvador, the power was always within him. 15 years he sat in that chair, trusting someone else to push him around. They weren't electric chairs. And the power was always within him. He just needed somebody to lean on. So tonight I just want to encourage you that you are not alone. The power is within you. Your time is now. Your journey begins today. Check out my story on Amazon, Kentucky Spiritual Vortex, A Sacred Journey of Love. Email me at enchantedjourney2012@gmail.com. I'll take a few minutes and go over to the chat room, see if we have any visitors with questions. And until next time, I just want to say thank you. Namaste.